Did you know that Can We Be Real's first birthday is coming up in the middle of May? And we wanted to say thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. And also, there's a birthday present that you can give to us, and it's absolutely free. You know that follow button on either Apple or Spotify? 63% of the audience who listens to this podcast have not hit that button yet on either of those platforms. And our goal is to get that down to 50% so that we have at least 50% of our audience who have hit follow on either Apple or Spotify. This helps us move up the charts. It helps us to grow, which means we can invest more money in making this podcast even bigger and better in our second year. So if you can help us reach our goal of 50% of the audience, that's another 13% of you who listen right now hitting that follow button on Apple or Spotify to help us to continue to grow. That would be the best first birthday present ever.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Can we be real? Hello, Bagsy.
Hey,
don't sit up straight. I loved how you were just sitting back in your chair there.
Okay.
Your feet up.
Yeah, bloody hell.
Matthew, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm good. I gave a tip for after our dinner last night. Did you think that was... I thought, well, for one thing, the dinner was great, but also... as established, we did sit in there until they were closed and we were still drinking when the chef was...
with the owner of the hotel.
Yeah.
Wherever we were.
So we took the piss a little bit, but I gave them a tip. There's a lot of conversation...
How much, can I ask just a rude question? How much did you tip? Did you go with a 20%, 25%, 10%?
I did 15%,
actually,
I think.
You are a wild tipper.
I remember
we got an... I think it was an Uber.
This is a special... It was a taxi.
It was a taxi that we...
Classic Melbourne bullshit taxi moment. You'll appreciate this.
We're at the casino and we could have walked home. We were that close to the... Remember we were staying at that other place?
Late and we were drunk, yeah.
It would have been a five-minute ride...
Mm-hmm. Was a 5 minute ride.
And you tipped the bloke. I think it was like a
50 bucks.
$50.
The point is
the ride was like 10.
But remember why? Because
who
the
pays
first,
more than the price?
Because the first taxi my dad was a taxi driver, so that's part of it. But the first taxi we went up to, of course, all the doors are locked, Matthew.
Yeah.
And he puts the window down a bit, he goes, "Where are you going?"
We said
and I get the shits.
We pointed
and I go,
at the tree and went there.
But I get the shits and I go, "Hey, excuse me, that's not the way this works, mate. Just let us..."
You're the first cab off the rank.
You're the first cab off the rank. I'll let you know where we're going when I get in the fucking car. I get so angry about that. He goes, "Nope." Puts the window up.
Yeah.
Second cab, same thing. So I'm starting to get riled up, right, at this stage. It's just a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
And because my dad was a taxi driver and he was like, "I will take every job. I'll take the big ones, the little ones. I'll take them all. I'm just taking them all." So this cab driver from way back at the rank comes running up and says, "I'll take you. Where are you going?" I was like, "You know what?" I thought to myself, "You, sir, are getting a very good tip." And then,
but it was a wild tip. Like, it was five times the price.
And when I gave it to him, I said to him, "On one condition." He goes, "What?" I said, "You go back to that rank and you tell those guys." Gave
yeah.
me this tip. He's like, "Done.
You're getting the cabs moving in Melbourne."
Bitchy move. Oh, mate, nothing will get those guys moving. They all want to go to the fucking airport. And then once you're coming from the airport, they won't take you anywhere within like 20 kilometres or something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then they're like, "Where are you going?"
Mm.
"You better be going to the city." They're bandits.
So you're a tipper.
I am a massive...
In a culture that tipping is not...
I like to tip when I want to tip. And I feel like there's this conversation developing in Australia these days where people are saying, "Hey, yeah, let's not let tipping culture creep in as a standard." Because what... I'm noticing on a lot of websites, I do a lot of online shopping. Suddenly this is popping up. "Do you want a tip?" And I'm like, "Tip who, mate? I've just done all the fucking work."
Yeah.
I've just filled out the form. I've picked the product and all that. And then my postman's going to bring it to me. So yeah. who am I tipping on at your shop, at the website? What are you fucking on?
Mm.
So, and we know in the States it sucks because people aren't paid a livable wage.
Yeah, so it justifies.
They're relying on tips, right?
But here, people are paid well.
Do not want to bring that in here.
No, people are paid. Like the minimum wage is not, you know, well, but the thing is the minimum wage is enough.
That's what our culture is built on. Our culture is built on the idea that everyone who works should be paid a livable wage. And we don't want to erode that.
Yes.
Right? We don't want to change that. So I feel like I want to tip when I feel
when
good.
You feel like it,
When I've had
but
a great...
you do it a lot.
I feel good a lot.
For an Aussie.
When I've had a great experience and I appreciate how hard someone's worked and I appreciate what they've done for me, I want to tip them.
I want to know, you're on the phone about 15 minutes ago to Recepo here asking for some bread.
Toast.
Some
toast.
You got a pretty annoying answer.
Breakfast finished 10 minutes ago.
Right.
I was like, yeah, but can I have some toast?
So is she getting a tip?
No, but also, you know what? She's not the person bringing up the food. She was just saying, no, you can't have toast. Breakfast finished 10 minutes ago. And I'm like, it's toast.
Yeah, and it's also 10:30.
Yeah.
Who finishes breakfast at 10:30?
I think everyone finishes breakfast at 10:30 in hotels, don't they?
11:30.
By the way, I wasn't this rude and she wasn't this rude. This was just the gist of she was going, yeah, well, breakfast is finished. And I was like, okay, but can I have some toast?
Mm.
I was like, it's toast. Anyway, she goes, oh, but they've packed everything up. And I'm thinking,
well, unpack it.
Yeah, it's a toaster. And also, you've got a kitchen. Like, there's other ways to make toast. Like, just it's just toast. Anyway, no go on the toast.
This is really first world problems, isn't
but
it?
But I'm saying, speaking of first world and developing world, the difference, you get better service in the developing world. You get, like, this is why I go to Bali. This is 100% why I holiday in Bali. And people, Balinese people will say to me, why do you come to Bali?
Yeah.
And I'll go, the service, 100%. Australians are so shit at service. I'm not angry about it. I love us. And I love that, like,
we're spoiled, right?
Yeah. My favorite restaurants, my favorite cafes around my house, it's like, the more I go there, the less service I get. Like, I'm at the point now where I go just go and get my own menus.
Yeah.
I take my own plates back.
Yeah.
I clean a table myself.
You're part of the community.
Part of this. You're part of the furniture. Like,
yeah.
The service is so shit in Australia.
Mm.
No one's ever happy. You feel like you're annoying people when you go there a lot. Don't you feel like people are like,
Well, the cafe that we go to, they've got a numbering system on their table, right? Now, so we'll walk into the cafe and you've got to walk up to the actual
counter.
Yeah, the counter.
Yeah.
So Yulia will just sit at a table, right? And there's one guy that knows us and he just looks where Yulia is and he's like, I know the table number. You're sorted.
Yeah.
There's another older bloke there that goes, what number are you on, mate? And I always go, oh, just that one out there where she's sitting with the black top. That's where we are. And he goes, I don't know what the number is. And I go, okay.
Right.
And I walk out, go, hey, babe, what's the number on the table? She goes, seven. I go, babe, seven.
And he
looks at me like, right, get your number before coming. Like, you know,
and
I'm like,
you.
Fuck, mate.
He chastises you.
Your tables have the numbers.
And it's your cafe.
Yeah.
This is what I mean about service.
Yeah.
That would never happen in Bali.
Totally. Or Europe.
Right. Exactly.
Although, if you go for a coffee in Italy, I had this experience where I ordered a latte.
Yeah.
I didn't say takeaway. But you're supposed to stand up and have your coffee there.
Oh, that's same in Paris. Right? Yeah. It's like,
and
it's more
down,
expensive
and
if you sit
down. They were like,
down.
No. Well, and they're like pushing me off the table. And I'm going, no, I want to sit here.
Like, I remember that in Paris. It's like for a coffee or a beer or whatever, it's like this price.
Yeah.
And if you sit down,
it's
three
more.
Times the price.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were yelling at me for not paying more. And I didn't know, though.
Yeah. But you're not feeling
but
like
I like being yelled
trouble.
At by Italian people.
Same.
It's
I love being yelled at by Germans. Yeah. It's hilarious. But you don't feel like you're in trouble.
No.
For when you're ordering.
No.
It's like, this is the bit where you're supposed to be nice to me.
Yeah. I'm paying you.
Yeah. Don't treat me like I'm in trouble because I forgot to get my number again.
Yeah.
Like, he knows you're a regular.
Because we go there after the gym and I'm still a bit like, I'm waking up still, right?
Yeah, right.
I do it every time
That's
he's at the
I mean.
Counter, I always go, fuck.
And so does he.
Right. But
his attitude is, this prick.
Right. But it's like, this mate. I reckon everyone's doing the same routine.
Of course they are. That's why he's so angry.
But
why?
Like, get off the till. Get off the. Go out
also,
the back.
Don't tell me you don't know every table number, mate.
There's 18 tables.
Of course there are.
And also, there's five people sitting down. When we've ordered the coffee, look out and go, those two are the ones that
you
ordered the latte
that.
And the fucking long black.
Stop trying to train me like
into
I'm a
your
fucking
dumb
shih tzu,
system.
Mate.
Yes.
Like, treat me like I'm a customer and you're glad I came here and not that other joint over the road.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Yeah.
Totally. That's the game we're supposed to play here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, when you're in Bali and you walk past and there's a person out the front begging you, trying to get you to come in. Hey, madame. Yeah. You want pizza? Hey, the children.
Yeah.
They remember the kids' names after you've told them once. They remember them for 2 weeks.
Totally.
They remember your order. They're like, oh, thank you for coming in again. It's so great to see you again.
Isn't Lygon Street like that? I know that's the touristy thing in Melbourne, but I always find when you walk down Lygon Street in Melbourne, you've got all of the guys coming out trying to get you into their restaurant.
Yeah, it can
and there's a bit of that vibe, like that kind of, you know, come on in, mate, you know?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. But I think that just we as a culture are just not that, we're not built for that. Our egos don't allow us.
Our egos, yeah.
Oh, we're too egotistical. I think the service industry is just not built for that kind of begging gratitude kind of vibe. Like hotel staff, anywhere you go, when you check in, when you check out, no one's like, oh God, I'm so stoked that you chose us. That is not the Australian attitude, right?
Do you know the Karen Cafe?
Yes.
Have you ever been?
Never been. But of course I read about it every time.
It's hilarious.
But I read about it every time someone cracked the shits and it was like,
that's funny.
But you went there because it was the Karen Cafe and they were going to be rude to you. And now you're going, yeah, but I didn't think they'd say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think they'd say I was bald. Well, what the fuck did you think? But I didn't think the service would be bad. Are you joking? That's the act.
Yeah, but I'd love a cafe that doesn't call itself the Karen Cafe, but actually treats people so shit. It becomes fun.
Well, I think you go to one every day after the gym.
But I don't need to be shitter than that.
Get your number before you come and order, mate.
Yeah.
I mean, how is he going?
Yeah, totally. He should not be running a cafe or in a cafe.
At least the people around my place they're never belligerent. Like, they're just like, yeah, get your own menu. You know where they are.
Yeah, but I like that.
Yeah, same.
I like that. Once you become a part of the furniture, that's a nice feeling.
I love that. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. There's no nastiness. That's just unbelievable to me.
It's almost like every time he sees us come up to the counter, you can see him do that, like.
That's what I mean. I reckon you get a lot of that
in
Australia.
But they've got good coffee. This is the issue, right? When you find a place.
And you live in Sydney, so that's really important.
We've only got one place.
One place. And I'd remember me table. Please, can I have your coffee? Yeah. It's the only good one in this whole city.
Yeah. Like, there's an option across the road.
But it's shit coffee.
It's so shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you guys are so lucky here in Melbourne. Basically, you can't fuck it up, really.
We got it all, mate. We are very lucky. You said last time you were here and you and I were having lunch and the guy came out to serve us, bought us beers, and we had a little chat about something. And you said, you don't get that in Sydney. You don't get the chit chat.
You don't.
The casual
chat. You guys have got great banter down here. The best banter in the country.
That's beautiful.
No,
Matthew.
But then hang on a second. I do feel like smaller towns, especially Queensland towns, way better banter than Melbourne because they'll say hello to you. You're on a walk, power walking.
Yeah, and mean it. Like, look you in the eye.
Right.
And mean it.
And I feel like Sydney and Melbourne, you're not getting that.
Oh, we do around my neighbourhood. But again, maybe that's a suburb thing. Yeah. You can't. And I've got a massive dog neighbourhood. You can't go for a walk without chatting to someone about their dog.
Yeah.
Once you know the name of everyone's dog, and the whole story, the whole history of everyone's dog.
Are you going to write a review for this lady?
No. And I'll probably tip the bloke who brings us our coffee.
What? Why?
Because he's just a young bloke. They're paid fuck all. You know, it goes gratuity. And I feel bad handing the thing back with nothing written on it. I was just going, oh, yeah, have a tenner. Don't you? They just
look at
me with so much hope in their eyes when they hand me that little folder. They go, here you go, madame, can you sign it? And I'm just like, they've got so much hope in their little eyes.
Yeah, but bloody hell, come
it's
on.
$10. I'm good for 10.
but that was a bad experience.
With that lady, and it wasn't even her fault. She's the messenger.
These guys need to get, this is going to sound arsehole-y here, but these guys need to get together and say, hotel, you're giving shitty service here and it's costing us our tips.
I tell you one thing that upset me a little bit last night when I left the tip after dinner. I'm pretty sure it didn't go to our hot waitress.
Oh, God, she was hot.
She was, we all liked her.
She was hot.
Yeah, she
wasn't
amazing.
She
was amazing.
It was the tattoos. She was like a model.
She was
tall, right?
Yeah.
And the confidence on her.
She knew.
She was hot.
Absolutely, that everyone in that joint was like, I think she likes me. Everyone in that, weren't we all? We were all like, hang on a minute. I think this waitress likes me.
Yeah.
She's great.
You felt like that too?
Oh, I absolutely thought I'm on here.
You thought you were on?
Yeah. Remember we were talking about tattoos? She was like, I love your tattoos. And she and I had a conversation. Oh, you were in the bathroom. Matthew was there. He saw it. Did you see it?
So you don't think the tip went to her?
It happened.
I don't, because remember, she was, I'm sure she was gone by the time I paid, and I paid with card.
Yes.
And I just thought later on, hang on a minute, is she going to get the, or is the Zach just going to the pot?
And she was doing such a good job, because I do believe that there were drinks just non-stop coming. She's like, she worked out what we needed, and then she was just non-stop.
And she was pushing the specials like crazy. I know Matthew, for one, Matthew ordered pumpkin gnocchi.
Who didn't want that?
Pumpkin gnocchi.
Yeah.
He ate, I know for a fact he ordered that because she said the words pumpkin gnocchi. And he was like, yes. He just went, yes.
Yeah.
She could have said shit sandwiches and he would have gone, yes.
Yeah. Was the service good?
Are you joking? Yeah, it was excellent. She said the drinks were flowing. She was there every second we needed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was there. She was attentive. Mm. She made us all feel like had a chance. She was amazing. And I just wanted my tip to go to her.
Did you look at the ring on her finger?
No. Was there?
I didn't know. I'm just thinking maybe you would have picked up on that because you look at that kind of gear, don't you?
Oh, I was looking at her eyes.
You don't look at fingers and go, because it's something that I don't think blokes do a lot.
I must be a bit of a bloke because I didn't. I was just mesmerised by her eyes, her cheekbones, her shoulder blades.
The shoulder blades and the neck bones.
It was a lot to take in.
And the white shirt, like the business shirt.
Yes, she was wearing a shirt, holy hell, like nobody's business.
Right.
Yeah.
Hot. I mean, I'm married, so we should calm down there.
Yeah. Charisma, she got riz. Yeah. Mad riz.
The riz.
Mad riz.
And the eyeliner.
Oh, God, it was just a complete
package. I can still picture her.
Yeah, same.
Vividly.
Oh, you can, yeah. You got details, man. I was just like complete.
She was hot.
Package, but you got details. You could draw her, I reckon. Wow.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, secrets and sparkles.
Please. Yes, please. We've got a little tune for Amy Shark and I. Oh, jaunty.
It's time to share your deep, dark secrets with Michelle and Bagsy.
Yeah.
Tell us your secrets. We'll laugh and cry along with you. Oh, yeah.
You need a stick with
Remember
the beard tops on.
Dude, I do. Her sister's husband. That's true.
It is true.
Share your secrets with us on Can We Be Real? We're here for you.
Ooh. Oh, tickling
Remember
the ivories.
The girl who sister's husband, that's true.
It is true.
Share your secrets with us on Can We Be Real? We're here for you. We're here for you.
God. Love that. That's got a Billy Joel.
Whoa.
Woo. Yeah, this has got a Billy Joel early 80s vibe. Do you think, Matthew?
Totally.
Oh, yeah, the piano man.
God, we've stepped our pussy up on this podcast.
We have.
We're singing songs. We're doing ditties.
Scooped and gagged. We have stepped our pussy up, girl. Woo.
Woo, girl.
So, we moved into this co-working space, and initially we were super paranoid about the ridiculously thin walls. We don't have anything to hide. Weren't too arrogant. Just like, no privacy. Recently, the room that I've been working in, I have been overhearing next door who had this lucrative business idea. And as soon as I shared it with the IT developers in my business, they were all over it. And so, yeah, we'll be launching this business idea before they get it off the ground. I mean, we've trademarked our idea and we've covered ourselves, so there's nothing they can do. But at the same time, I kind of feel guilty.
That's business though, isn't it?
You feel a little bit guilty.
Is that business? Like, you got to get in first, right?
I mean, God, it's bloody dog.
Because everyone has an idea, but it's those who act on the idea that actually win.
And act fast. It's analysis paralysis. Which is a term you taught me, Bags, and I love it.
What do you mean I taught you that? That's a long... I'd never heard that. That's an ancient term.
I had never heard that
analysis paralysis. That those two words work together.
I'd never heard that in my life. Have you, Matthew?
What do you mean? Am I the only guy rolling around with analysis paralysis?
In our world, you are. Yeah, right. We'd never heard that before. Okay. It's great. And so these blokes on the other side of the thin wall.
Worried.
They've got analysis paralysis. Yeah. They're at the whiteboard every day going, oh, should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? What colour should, what font should we use?
Yeah.
You know, what colour will we have on the banner thing on Facebook? They're all this bullshit over here. And old mates next door are going, who fucking cares? We're just doing it.
Facebook?
Yeah, that's not even... We're just doing it. You know? They're booking all sorts of shit next door on the other side of the thin wall.
Right.
Yeah, they're going, oh, should we have a team building day? Fuck, who cares?
This puts a flaw in those shared workspace type scenarios, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, they probably even had butcher's paper up on that glass wall that looks out onto the breakout areas.
The mezzanine.
They're thinking, oh, no, we're fine. No one's going to know what we're doing in here. Oh, mate.
All your secrets.
Should have kept your voice down. Yes. We used to work, obviously, in one. And Matthew Simon has been in a shared working space recently because he's obviously in a one bedder with his beautiful wife, Yulia. And she was sick for a time. Mm-hmm. So I've been Zooming in and he's been back in the shared space.
Sitting in front of a fancy curtain.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's a nice curtain.
Yeah.
But you give away some of the mystique every now and then. Sorry, do you need this, mate? Mate. I think, how many people, where are you?
Yeah, just sitting in the middle of the city.
Are you in the shared kitchen?
Well, this is the place that we went to do the podcast recording.
Oh, my God.
That sounded like we were sitting...
In a metal drum.
It was the worst sounding room.
Ugh, but it's beautiful.
But that's all those places.
Yeah.
It is, places. They look beautiful, but part of their aesthetic is like a lot of cement, isn't it? A lot of...
Yeah.
Bouncy sound cement. And so even just the sound of people walking, and you know how people, a certain genre of man who loves to walk and talk on the phone, just strut the hallways going, anyway, I know what you mean. So I said, you know, I've got analysis paralysis. And he said, what's that?
Shut up.
I said, I've never even heard of that.
I'm not that guy. Were there any other podcasts in that shared workspace?
No,
but that was the thing. They wanted there to be.
Oh, you can't have that.
That's why they had a whole podcast room.
Because you couldn't have, like, podcasts in the same room.
No. Obviously. You're stealing our ideas everywhere.
Stealing ideas.
It's cutthroat enough.
Imagine if bloody Abby Chatfield was in the next room doing bloody secrets.
Then I'd be stealing her ideas. Then I'd be on this show going, oh, so anyway, I've got a new boyfriend, but I don't know, I'm not going to talk about it, but hang on a minute, we've broken up, but hang on a minute.
Here's a butt plug.
Stop slut shaming me.
You know what? She is giving away I think she's created her own butt plug.
That doesn't
surprise me one
bit. Is
she the lady that went to Domino's Pizza?
I'd love to think so.
Yeah.
Well, if she's not that lady, I'd say she's a lady who's gone to Domino's Pizza with a butt plug.
Yeah.
In, for sure.
Good on her.
She had her own vibrator.
Can we just Google Abby Chatfield's butt plug?
Yeah.
Way ahead of your search history.
We've got to get Abby on. We should help her sell these butt plugs.
Mate, she's not interested.
If we help her sell the butt plugs?
She can sell her own butt plugs. She does not need
help from us. She's got socials. Yeah.
Well, she has got socials. She's got her own ways and means, mate.
She's got a following. Yeah.
She's fine.
But she's got a kit that helps you get into that.
Let's talk about this.
Helps you get into
it. Get into doing that kind of
thing. What do you mean by
that? Let's talk it through.
Do you mean stretch your butt?
No.
That's what it says.
Well, I'm going to need more information, mate. Just say, Abby Chatfield's got a kit that helps you get into butt plugs and leave it at that.
That's what it is.
Explain.
That's all right.
And you're not getting out of it that easily. Explain what you mean by Abby Chatfield has a kit that helps you get into butt plugs.
Okay, it's called the option A.
This is your job.
Yeah, I know. It's called option A normal, and it's an anal play kit, and it's $220.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Could you do a market compare for me?
Yes.
Can I get... Okay.
Oh, leave it.
No, you can still hear us. Can you grab the coffees back just while Matthew does a market compare? Because I wonder if Abby offers a... you know how like at JB Hi-Fi?
Yeah.
If you can find it.
Fuck, they're bloody...
Oh, it's all happening here at HQ. You mentioned Abby Chatfield's... Hey, oh, mate. I'm not going to say this because there's a guy at the door.
No, don't drama. We're just doing a podcast. Come on.
We're just talking about Abby Chatfield's butt plugs. It's fine.
So what do you want me to compare it with?
Other butt plug kits.
In what way? Okay, so...
Price match. Does she do a price match?
Okay, well, first, just know what you're getting.
Oh, that's a good point.
It comes with... It's 3 toys and 7 intensities. It's beginner-friendly.
Okay, good. That's good.
Okay, and $220.
$220.
So I'll compare that with...
Yeah, with other options in the market. Because you know at JB Hi-Fi, if you go to them and go, well, I've found a better price for an iPad, and they're supposed to price match it?
Yeah, but okay, but then I go on... If I go on Sexyland, they're just $25 for a butt plug. But that's not a kit.
That's not a kit. That's not got intensities.
All right, one sec, let me find it. There's a $55 training kit.
Thank you.
A training kit for $55?
Yeah,
from what are the intensities?
I think that it's just analog. they don't think they vibrate like that.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Bags, are you back yet?
Oh, you're going to need me
to... Hang on, so where are we at?
Hang on, I've got to sign for our...
No, I've done it. I've signed. Oh, thank you. It's all good. So back to the butt plugs.
Can you just wait until our friend leaves?
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye. You tipped him because he's just heard a lot of stuff.
Oh, he's fine.
Fuck. Thank God. Alone at last. So much going on there. Anyway, so
Abby Chatfield's got a butt plug.
Yeah, and it's a beginner's kit. And so Matthew's price matching because he's price checking to see. Then we have to check and see if Abby price matches like JB Hi-Fi does.
Maddie, you should order one.
No, well, you can use the work credit card, Dale, so you've got the numbers.
We'll give Abby a bit of cash.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but then, hold on, then there's one here from
juju.com.au,
which is $500 for a kit, but that's a master's kit.
Well, so. Master's ass play.
Well, we have to start with the beginner's one, I think, for a lot of reasons. We have to start with Abby's beginner one.
Totally.
I'm not confident to go straight to master's.
Yeah. And look, Abby's doing a reno at the moment.
And I'm pretty confident.
So obviously we're chipping in to help out
with
the kitchen.
Yeah, but also, I mean, yeah. Also, it's an interesting product and I feel as though we have talked it up a lot. So the least we can do is have a look at it. Okay, Matthew, chuck it in your basket. I'm sending it to Matthews.
Send it to Matthews. Yeah, and then I can't wait for your bloody missus to go out the front and pick it up.
It's a work thing. I'll sign a note if you want me to write a note.
I love Matt's laugh right now. He's just like, fuck you guys.
We just want him back over as well. This is going
to... Oh, this is actually, yeah. Is this going to scare you off?
No. I've accepted. I'm trying. Last time I tried to say I don't want to be on, it's made a whole campaign. Oh, so totally. I'm just trying to...
Yeah, and now Abby Chatfield's in on it.
Well, God, now she's a force of nature. Mm. I mean, now she's involved.
Yeah.
Oh, you're fucked.
Totally.
Good luck, you're fucked.
Good luck, you're fucked.
Oh, Lachlan, fire up the yacht. I mean, I'm throwing everything at you now because, boy, oh boy, now you are in.
Now, I just want to point something out here. You've spoken about Abby Chatfield's butt plug, Matthew. There's a good chance he could be in the Daily Mail again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow. What would that be? What headline would that be?
Oh, well, purchases Abby Chatfield's butt plug.
All right. If that's just the way it falls for me, if that's my fate, whatever. I've given up.
Yeah. You have to just lean into it.
Yeah.
How do we file that one?
Oh, God. I perfectly
understandable. Yeah.
What can you do?
First in with the idea is the winner.
It's just fallen in your lap. If I had overheard, if we were in a work, you know, share space and I overheard Abby Chatfield talking next door really loudly going, I'm going to introduce a butt plug beginner's kit.
Totally.
With 3 speeds or whatever she's got, I might go, shit bags. We have to do that quick before she does.
Quick test it out.
Maybe. But sadly for us, that did not happen and we've missed the boat.
Yeah. Are we doing a Can We Be Real butt plug?
Maybe we are. I'd like to think so. Mm. And on the bit that stays outside, the actual plug bit, it's going to have our logo.
Or Domino's. Domino's Pizza.
Let's talk to Domino's about a co-pro.
Oh, wow.
Let's go in with them on it.
Yeah. Because they could also bundle that with a Pepsi. You get a Pepsi garlic bread and a butt plug with your pizza.
I love it.
All right, let's get into the next secret.
So this
makes me feel like I should be watching Sky News when I say this, but a couple of years ago, my eldest child, who was born male, came home and told me that they're trans. And I asked them what that meant, and they said, means I'm a girl. And I said, okay, do you want to dress differently? And they said, no, not really. And over the years, they've had times where they've borrowed females' clothes, or they've gone and purchased females' clothes. And when we've been shopping, I've always said, what do you want? And, you know, we've gone to big department stores where everything's available. And I've made jokes saying, I'm absolutely happy to buy you school uniform. But the joke was, I'll just buy it secondhand because I'm cheap. And that's not because I don't want to buy them a dress. I'm just cheap. Anyway, ultimately, they've decided they like wearing shorts and T-shirts and track pants and hoodies. And that's fine with me. But it seems to not be fine with everyone else. And I get a lot of rhetoric from people that I'm not supporting my child being trans when I actually feel like it's everyone else putting it on my kid.
Yeah, I totally understand what you mean. There is so much, there's so many rules around this stuff pushed on us now. Like, the rules were, your child can't be trans, you can't support your child being trans, you know, they have to wait till they're adults and they have to go through all this counselling for other people to say they're trans before they can say they're trans, or you can say they're trans or whatever. But now the rule has changed where it's like, if your child says they're trans when they're 2 years old, then you have to jump all in and everyone has to be all in, and that's it. There can't be any debate or discussion about it ever again. That's it. This person's trans. They have to get in the program and get the medication and do all of that, you know. So there's just no leeway. There's no gray area. There's no, hey, woo, slow down. You know, how do I feel today? It might be different to how I feel tomorrow. It might be different to how I feel next year, you know.
But especially that age group.
Oh, this is it.
Like, what do, I mean,
puberty changes a lot of things, yeah, in emotionally, mentally.
Decisions.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about choosing a school to go to, or, mm-hmm, or what you want to eat that day. We're talking about changing your body.
Right.
At an age group that, like, I can't imagine how much trauma there is on the body to change, yeah, change, right? Yeah. But then if you, when you, you know, you make that decision at 9, yeah, and then when you're 14, you actually make the decision, I made a bad choice, right? And then you've got to take your body back through that thing. And also the psychological thing of, you did that and now you've got to explain.
Right.
So,
and either way, there's going to be this whole group that wants to latch onto you and expect you to be a spokesperson. Like, you can't just be a quiet person. You have to stand up and be a spokesperson for trans people,
right,
or a spokesperson for people who regret being trans, or, you know, it's like there's no room. I talk about this a lot with other mums.
But should you and I be talking about this?
Well,
and the reason I say should there be a trans person?
Trans.
Exactly. So, yeah, like, because, you know, even,
I hear what you're saying.
Even talking all of this out, it's like, well, what should we, why should we be talking,
well,
about this?
Well, we're talking about it because we're responding to this lady who, yes, is telling us something.
Yeah.
So all we can do is support her, and that's all I'm trying to do is support her and say that I think there are too many outsiders. I feel the same way in the autism space.
Mm.
That there are so many people making up rules around how I can speak about how that affects my family, that I feel like I'm always in trouble. I'm always wrong. I'm always like, I use the wrong words. I say the wrong things. But it's like, well, hang on a minute. Can't we just be us? Can't we just speak honestly about our experience and how we feel about it, and how, no, you can't use that word. You can't say it this way. You can't. Like, I was just talking to Evie Jones the other day on her podcast, and I said, yes, I have a family member who is very low on the spectrum. Now, a lot of people in the autism space hate it. For one thing, you're not supposed to say Asperger's anymore. We're not supposed to use that term, which used to be for people who are low. I think I'm probably going to get in trouble, but people who are low on the autism spectrum. So a lot of, they say, don't talk about how bad you've got autism, basically, because we should just, we don't want to say it's good or bad or worse or better, or you don't want to say, oh, I've only got it a little bit, because that's not celebrating it or, you know what I mean? It's hard to explain. But the reason that I say that, like I said to Evie, is I don't want to give the wrong impression to people that I am living as a single mum with a really challenging child at home, because I'm not. And a lot of people are. And so I don't want to oversell my situation. I don't want to look like a hero who's dealing with a really challenging case of autism at home, because I am not.
So how do you file that one?
I file that under, I mean, completely understandable. I was going to say be careful, but no, you don't have to be careful. You're doing a great job. Be careful not to listen to other people. Like, you know, you're a mum. You know what you're doing. You obviously love your baby very, very much, your child. You've got a great relationship. Fuck everyone else, mate. You know what you're doing. I love it. I love you. And just keep doing what you're doing, mate.
All right, here's our next secret.
I teach extracurricular activities, kids at school, of an afternoon. And my secret is, whilst I love working with the kids, parents really suck. And parents often come and say, oh, my child should be another level, or my child should be this, or my child should be that. Then some parents don't pay their bills. So these parents that attempt to cross me or don't pay their bill, their kids, they're never getting any awards. They're never going to ever be my superstar. Sorry, kids, but your mum stuffed that for you. This is not Dance Mums.
This is not Dance Mums.
Well, thank God it's not, because Dance Mums is brutal. That's Miss Abby's dance school. Remember, did you ever watch that?
No.
Oh, God. Crazy. Miss Abby had, she's teaching little kids, right, to dance, and all their mums are in the room. Their mums are mental. And a lot of them were dancers or cheerleaders or both when they were young. And these girls are ranging from like 4 to sort of 10, 12. They're little. At the end of every, I can't remember when Miss Abby would do it. I think once a week, maybe at the beginning of the class. So she's reflecting upon the previous week's work. She would get everyone sitting on the floor, and she'd go, okay, it's time for the pyramid. And what the pyramid was she would put all of their names in a pyramid of best to worst. So you laugh.
Yeah, we used to have this at school.
Are you kidding?
We used to have the little...
Is that behaviour?
With the stars.
Yeah,
and some kids got 5 stars, some kids got 1 star. Yeah, like that's the same behaviour. Kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that sucks. That still sucks. But this is like dancing ability. Like, these little kids are working their hearts out trying to dance. And
compete.
Then, right. And so she's, you know, obviously they've got them at each other's throats, got their mums at each other's throats. She's very clearly... And actually, you know who one of them was? One of the kids on this show was Maddie Ziegler, who then was in all the Sia videos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she came from Dance Moms, as did Jojo Siwa, the owner of my favourite name, Jojo Siwa. Jojo Siwa.
I'll Google it.
Google up. Coffee down, mate. You're at work. She parlayed her dance. She was in Dance Moms. Then it was the kid with the big bows.
Yeah, I got her.
She is now, she's kind of still in the biz, but she has now dedicated herself to lesbianism in the same way she dedicated herself to bows. She is, I mean, the other day she was on TV saying, I've tattooed the names of my children on my body. She doesn't have any children.
Okay.
This is just what's going to happen. So she's like, okay, what I'm going to do is, she's just an overachiever. And she's quite butch now. She's just that kind of lesbian in the way that she was just a full-on bow kid. Now she's a full-on lesbian.
Good on.
Good with it.
Yeah.
Great with it.
Yeah.
But she's just 100%er. So she's got on her body, she tattooed, I think they like Freddie, Teddy and Eddie. Literally, I'm not making those up. And
rhyming words. Fully, like rhyming names.
Fully.
Okay.
And the bloke on TV was like, what's that about? And she's like, oh, that's my kids' names. And he's like, do you have kids? Because he's a showbiz guy. He's thinking, shit, I've dropped the ball. Because do you have kids? She's like, no, I'm going to. I'm going to have a boy. And she's like, I've already got a sperm donor. She's that kind of girl.
Wow.
Yeah, you're sorted. Right. Freddie, Eddie and Teddy.
Perfect. There you go.
She's 100%er.
Yeah.
So she learnt that from Miss Abby, I think. Miss Abby was hardcore. Miss Abby would go, okay, girls, it's time for the pyramid. So on top of the pyramid generally was Maddie, who went on to be Sia's mate. Beautiful little dancer. But girls that came in under her, also lovely little dancers.
Yeah.
Geez, their mums would pop off.
Yeah.
Oh, their mums would punch on. And then they'd scream at Abby. They once had a blue backstage at a gig where one of them took a handful of the other one's hair.
So how do we feel about this teacher?
I think
who's punishing the kids in a way.
There'd be a lot of this going on. She's punishing the parents using
through the kids
using the weapon at her disposal, yeah. which is the children.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of this go on. Yeah, if you annoy the teacher enough, it's only natural she's going to not like your kids or that's awful.
Mark them down? Could she mark them down?
Ooh. Maybe, although I must say, in my experience, people tend to feel sorry for kids of shit parents, don't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe this lady is particularly ruthless.
Yeah.
But... not giving them awards. I mean, doesn't every kid has to get an award at some point during the bloody season, don't they?
Or, participation?
Yeah. Doesn't everyone get a certificate?
It's all I ever got.
Really? Right,
participation
same.
Awards.
Same. Oh.
Yeah. Did you get proper ones?
I was always blue and red ribbon.
Oh, killing it.
Yeah, first and second.
That's right. He was
first
an athlete. He was a swimmer and an athlete.
I went to state for swimming.
Oh. States, mate.
I almost didn't get one year for tennis when I was a little kid because I would always be, throwing tantrums and crying and stuff.
Oh, little Matthew.
So they gave one to my brother, but before they gave one to me, they were like, and we're giving it to Mike because, you know, he's brave and he's a good sport.
He's a
and
good
all this
boy.
Sort of stuff. Oh. Yeah, yeah. And when he went up to accept his award, he said, instead of thank you, he said spank you, and it made the whole room laugh. Goodbye. So then when, I'd done crying, and they were like, all right, Matt, get up here, I said spank you, and no one gave a shit.
Aww.
Everyone was like, that's pathetic. I was trying to steal his
brutal.
Joke.
Brutal. God, I would have thought it was cute, but nah.
Mm.
Everyone went,
nah. It's already been done.
No,
well,
mate.
I think people were mad at me.
No, you're ruining the vibe. Killing the vibe, man. My kids have only just realised that every kid at their primary school got an award at some point during the year because it's super cute. You know, you'd get an email to say, hey, by the way, if you can come to assembly this week, Dali's getting an award or Louie's getting an award. And they wouldn't know about it. And so, you know, and they never, Jared, that why are you coming to assembly? You never come to assembly.
Yeah.
And why is Nan here? And why is Auntie Sherry here? And why?
Yeah.
Why is Nodgy here? Why is everybody at assembly this week? Never, ever crossed their minds. We'd go, oh, we just thought we'd pop along.
Yeah.
And on a Friday morning, yeah, why not? Grab a coffee, pop along to assembly. Yeah, we just wanted to hear a poem, see the flags being raised. Why wouldn't we? So anyway, we go along to assembly and we'd all be standing at the back with the other mums with our phones out ready to take some videos. And all of a sudden they'd go, okay, it's time for the awards. And a year six kid would stand out there with the list and they'd go, and for excellent help in tidying up the book nook, Dali.
Oh,
you know,
you got everybody together for that.
Oh, totally. But there'd be 20 of them. They'd call out kids from every grade.
Well done, Dali. Yeah. But bloody hell, Mum and everyone, the whole family.
For helping with the preps.
Hang on. So do you know what the award is before you turn up? You don't know what fucking hell.
No, but they're all shit. Like, no, mate, no one's saved a family from a fire. It's fucking primary school.
Yeah, but
that's what the awards are.
Are you going...
No, we're proud.
On.
I've got tears in my eyes.
Are you really?
Yeah, because little Dali didn't know she's going to get...
Doing what? Changing the books on the
helping
shelf?
Helping tidying up with the book nook.
Oh, fuck,
or something
that's
shit like that.
A waste of time.
But see their
that's
little
a Friday
faces,
morning.
Because they're sitting there not listening to anything. They're sitting there, you know, picking at the gravel or picking
boardish,
their nose or whatever or, you know, giggling with
the
kid next to them. And then all of a sudden they hear their little name
and
their teacher goes, Dali! Dali, come up you get, you got no one. And they jump up and they look around like, what? And they look at me and Nan and Auntie Sherry and Nodgy and they go, what? And then they run out to the line out in front of everyone. They're blushing and they get their little thing.
That is cute.
It's adorable. It's so
come
cute.
Come up with some better ideas
They're
for
all
awards.
Shit. They're all shit. For helping the preps with their sandwiches.
Oh, fucking
Louie. What? Me? Oh, I was not expecting this. Oh, but they mean it.
Right.
They're not acting. They genuinely are like, oh my God, I'm getting an award.
Yeah.
And then they all stand up there with their little certificates.
They're not doing this at 14 anymore,
no,
are they?
This is primary school.
I can't imagine Dali.
She would now. She'd go, ugh, cringe. But at the time, she was over the moon. So every year.
Do you remind her of this?
Yeah, if I did it now, she'd giggle and blush and go, Mom, shut up. Mom, stop it. But in fact, thank you for reminding me. I'm going to do that one. Yeah, again. Yeah, it's cute. But
because you guys have had a few days, haven't you? Where you've had a
yeah, few moments. Yeah, she is so annoying.
This will be a great way to an icebreaker.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of these, but it is a good way to make her be cute again. Is to tease her about cute things she did when she was little, and she just beams and she just blushes, and we've got our hugs going, you know, our 4 hugs a day and all that. They've just realised. Well, she realised. Mm. Didn't cross Louie's mind, but she just went because I've still got them all, a lot of them on the fridge. Like I've still got. You know, these things on the fridge going, for cleaning the book, helping cleaning the book nook, Dolly, from grade 4 or whatever. And she just noticed one the other day and she was just laughing. She goes, oh, God. Remember, hey, Louie, remember when every kid in primary school got an award every year? And he was like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, no. What do you mean what I mean? And he's like, what do you mean every kid got one? She goes, mate. Every kid got one eventually.
Yeah.
Like through the course of the year, we all got one. They obviously, I mean, look what they're for, mate.
Yeah.
She's like, you got one for like, you know, wearing socks or something one day. Like, look what we got the awards. Yeah. What's written on them? And he was like, oh, I didn't realize that. I thought we were. Yeah.
How do you file the school teacher that is marking?
Perfectly understandable. Yeah. I don't know how you do it. How do you be a teacher? Yeah, I don't know.
Hard work.
The kid's annoying, but yeah, I hadn't even thought of the parents. No. Oh, gross.
All right, here's our next secret.
I love my boyfriend.
Great.
But he's a really bad kisser. And he's not that good in bed either, to be honest.
Oh!
I've tried to teach him, to mould him. He just doesn't know what he's doing. Oh. It's such a shame, too, because he's... He's such a wonderful guy. Oh, well, maybe sex isn't as important as you think it is. I don't know.
Oh, that's sad. I thought for a minute there, I thought, oh, no, we're replaying one. But remember that other lady, she didn't like the loud kissing.
That's right.
Of the boyfriend.
Yeah.
But this one's like, it's just bad kissing and the sex is bad. Does that mean he's your friend?
How can sex be bad?
That's adorable.
And maybe I'm not good at it.
You're just grateful, which is sweet. You're just like, any sex is fine.
Yeah, but so explain it to me. How does it get bad?
I mean, there's lots of ways.
Right, but like as in it's too boring or it's the same or it's like the same position?
Oh, yeah, all of the above. Or I mean, we'd have to ask her, but for whatever reason, he's not tripping her trigger.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe he's like literally not tripping her trigger. Maybe.
But isn't all sex great?
No. And as I say, it's adorable that you're so grateful. But no, there's definitely, there are definitely times where you go, well, I could have done without that. But you still, what if you have, I mean, you can't be in a relationship with someone where you always feel that though, where you always feel like, well, I mean, this is always terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's up and down.
Sure.
But this lady's going, she's at the point where she's going, I guess maybe sex isn't important.
Yeah. That's sad.
How tragic.
Yeah. 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 It's an important part, especially if you're in your... I don't know if it's important when you're in your 70s.
I was going to say, she does not sound like she's in her 70s,
by the
way.
No, so maybe there's parts of your life where it's not as important.
Yeah.
But when you're in that under 65 vibe...
She sounds like she is definitely... She sounds like it's important to her.
Yeah. By the way, I'm sure there's 70-year-olds that are just going to town.
Oh, I will be. We've discussed this.
Yeah, at the nursing home.
Whirling around the nursing home going, hello, Bob. Mm. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, God, of course I'll pop over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problems. But this lady, I mean, this one's saying, well, is he your friend then? Like, oh, God, that's so tragic. Mm. We were talking last night about sometimes you can, oh, no, was it at a breakfast? Sometimes you can love someone, but for whatever reason, maybe they want to move to a city. You don't want to, you just like, I'm just not moving there. And they're like, I just am. And it's like, okay, well, we're breaking up. Yeah. Like, I love you.
Yeah.
We've hit an impasse.
Adelaide's a shithole. We're not moving it.
I wasn't going to be specific, but okay. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so sometimes that happens.
Mm.
And increasingly, as you get older, sometimes you get to a point where you go, okay, I want to have a baby. There's a lady in Sydney who famously has twins. And I say famously because she, at the time when Twitter was huge, early days, they're roughly the same age as my kids. So about 2008, 2009, she had twins and she called them the Twitter twins because she talked a lot about it online. She had them IVF twins, but they were donor eggs and donor sperm.
Oh, wow.
because, well, not because, but part of her story was she had been married for decades and she and her husband, she always wanted kids. He kept putting it off.
Yeah.
Not yet, not yet, not yet. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, of course, she's getting older.
Yeah.
Got to the point where she was, I think, already in her 40s. And he said, no. And she said, okay, well, I'm saying yes, so we have to break up.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, today.
Yeah, see ya.
So she broke up with him and she then went through the entire process of, she was just so determined and she has these beautiful twin boys. And, you know, that's a deal breaker for her. That was the deal breaker. I think maybe sex can be a deal breaker, definitely.
Yeah, of course. With the scenario there where you, you know, you're in a relationship and you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
And one is excited to have the kids and the other is not sure or uncertain. And then they make that. Is that very, very common? Or is that uncommon? I think which way is it?
I think it's increasingly common because I think people now are really understanding and owning the fact that you don't have to have kids. I really think up until very recently, everyone just accepted, at some stage I'll have kids. We'll have kids.
And what's driving that? Is that cost? Is that like a financial thing? Is it a freedom thing of being able to?
Yeah, all of the above. And I think more people with kids are being more honest about it and going, right, actually, it sucks a lot of the time. And if I had my time again, I wouldn't do it again. I love my children.
Yeah, of course you do.
But I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot more honesty in the conversation. And I think a lot of,
but
people
then,
are going.
Then again, okay, think about that. Really hard. You wouldn't do it again, which would mean the kids are not here.
Yep.
And you're going out for dinner during the week. And
you're I'm not saying it.
No, but you're doing whatever you want.
Yeah.
Doesn't that get boring? Doesn't doing whatever you want get boring?
Look, it's hard to say. None of us can really know a scenario like this because you can't have that sliding doors moment where you get to live both realities. But I am saying that I think these days...
The grass is always greener on the other
totally.
Side.
Totally.
But do you think having the freedom to... Realistically, what is doing what you want all of the time? Flying somewhere, going to Fiji when you feel like it.
No, it's so much more than that, mate. It's not waking up like I do at 6:30 in the morning and having to argue and wrestle people out of bed. And kids don't get easier. They get harder. I'm 14 years in and they're just getting harder. And I'm sure at some stage it'll let up, I hope.
You're 4 years away.
That, you keep saying that, but I don't...
Well, I moved out of home at 18.
Yeah, you did, and so did I. But I don't think these two are.
Can't you?
No.
Can't you start generating that?
No.
Like, guys, how great's moving out of home?
No. But what I'm saying, I will say, my parents had me when they were 23, and that was the go back then.
Yeah.
And their parents had them when they were younger. So I think these days, that's unheard of. So I think the older you get without kids, the more you start to think, well, actually, this is pretty good. We got dogs. We got cats, whatever. We got, I mean, do we really need to? Do we change anything? Everything is expensive.
Yeah.
Houses are however much more, three times the percentage of our income that they were when my parents were having
kids. Wages aren't going up.
Right?
Yeah.
But we expect more out of life. My parents never went on a holiday, let alone overseas.
Yeah.
We expect to do that.
Totally.
So Australians' lifestyles have changed so much, I think, and this is not just Australia. Across the Western world, birth rates are dropping through the floor. So there is some kind of consciousness that's saying,
from
you know
COVID?
What? No,
from 2020, before COVID?
Before. Yeah, this has been a trend for decades.
Wow.
There is a trend where people started having less children and now couples saying, I don't think so. And I think it's led by women, actually, saying, what if I am not a mum? Would that be the end of the world?
Yeah.
What if I'm an auntie? What if I'm... a friend.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, Yulia dabbles in and out of it at the moment at the age of 32.
Yeah.
Sometimes she's all, oh God, yeah, do we want them?
Because realistically, she's got 8 years, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, after that, it's real tricky.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, so that pressure, when she's at this point in her life where her life is great... She's in love. She's working hard. You guys are traveling.
Yeah.
She loves her life. That's so much
sacrifice.
Pressure. Yeah, to
sacrifice.
Just go, okay, do I want to end all of this, turn it upside down, and hope I've made the right decision? Or do I want to just keep living like this? I know this is good, you know. I think, yeah, and obviously it's not what I think. the statistics show that more and more people are going...
Less kids, actually, no kids.
Yeah.
Even having, like, I mean, people that have, you know, no siblings, they say that it's a really... There can be it can be a lonely childhood because there's no one else there to play with and no one else to entertain. But the reality is more people will have one kid.
That's definitely on the rise. Yeah, one kid.
As opposed to,
yeah, when we were kids, three or four standard.
Yeah.
When my parents were kids, 12.
Five kids, yeah.
You know, yeah.
How do you file that one?
The bad sex in the relationship. Yeah. So we got around to it. Look, I'm going to say be careful because, you know, life is short. Life is short, babe. Be careful. I don't think that if a relationship is not fulfilling you in every way, and I think that's a big part of life, and it sounds to me like you think that's a big part of life too, your sexual relationship.
When you say in every way, though, is there a relationship out there that is fulfilled in every way?
Yeah, it's got to be a bit. I'm not saying 100%, but I'm saying, you know, you want to be with someone, you want to have a sexual relationship that's... Yeah. Good most of the time.
Yeah.
You want to be with someone who's nice to you most of the time.
Yeah.
You want to be with someone who's intellectually stimulating most of the time. Yeah. Like no one's going to be 100% all the time. But
totally.
I think if there's the sex is terrible, that's a huge part out of a relationship.
Yeah. Let's get into our next secret.
So this happened literally 18 years ago, but I still think about it and cringe with embarrassment.
Literally.
So I was 23 and a graduate lawyer, and I was working at a firm doing crazy hours. I really liked the partner that I was working for and was learning a lot from him. One Friday night, I decided to go out with a group of friends and was completely poleaxed and met somebody who I thought appeared to be about the same age as me and took him home that night. In the morning, I rolled over and in the light of day realised that he was a little bit younger than me and said to him, "Oh, my God, how old are you?" And he told me that he was 18. Which I was a bit mortified about. And then he asked me what I did, and I said that I was a lawyer, and he said, "Oh, my dad's a lawyer." And turned out it was the same firm. And then we went on to discover that his dad was my boss. And I was mortified, and I could not look his father in the face ever again and had to move firms. And it didn't help that I drove him home that day and his father was out the front of the house. I don't think he saw me, but by then the damage was done and I could never recover from it.
What a ripper.
I love it. This is a movie. It's the movie starring Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah.
J-Lo.
Right. Are you making it up now? Are you
yeah,
casting
I'm casting.
It?
I'm
right.
casting.
I feel like this scenario has happened.
Oh, yeah?
In a movie.
In a movie, has it?
But you do your own casting.
It does
here.
Feel like it's
so
great. It's J-Lo in the part
is the Cougs.
Of this lady. Timothée Chalamet is the gorgeous young guy. Yeah, I know he's a bit older than that, but he could play young.
Right.
And I love him in anything.
Who's the dad?
Who's the daddy?
You know who it is? Schitt's Creek, the dad out of Schitt's Creek.
You're going high comedy. You're going high comedy.
Well, you got J-Lo in it, mate.
I was going to go, but I was going to go lower comedy. I was going to go, like, I was going more romantic comedy.
So could it be
coming
like,
of age?
Meet the Fockers' dad? What's his name?
Oh, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
What's his name? God, you're too much. You're too much.
Oh, I don't know celebrities' names, mate.
Celebrities' names. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Robert De Niro.
Who was the Christmas guy you were asking about before? Is
Frank Sinatra.
Is Frank Sinatra, Frank Sinatra that Christmas guy? Yeah, and now you're like, mate. Who's the dad in Meet the Fockers? Robert De Niro.
He'd be good, right?
He'd be as amazing. Are you joking? He'd be good, right? He's the fucking best actor.
He can act.
We need someone who's...
What about Olivia, who's already done this in the real world? Olivia bloody... What's her name? You know, who dated Harry Styles. Boom.
No, she hasn't got the riz. I mean, I love her, but nah. I just don't think she's got the riz. You know, we love J-Lo because she's got the riz, and I can see she's such a foxy older lady.
Yeah, she's hot.
I can see her rolling over and going, "How old are you?" And he's like, "I'm 18. I just think they would have great chemistry, those two. But then you know what would happen? Oh, no, that'd be gross. I was going to say what would happen is that she would actually end up with his dad, Robert De Niro, but that would be gross because she's rooted the son.
Yeah. Why? On this podcast?
Yeah, no, it's not gross on the podcast, just as a movie.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know that J-Lo would sign on to that. She might go,
geez, it takes a real twist.
Rewrite and I'll think about it. Yeah. But I love the idea of Robert De Niro just out hosing.
Yeah, right, on the front lawn.
Yes. Yes, hosing when the sun just gets dropped off in a car with J-Lo with big sunglasses on, driving away. But yeah. I love all of this. You got game, girl, and yeah. I love it.
Boom.
I love it. I filed it. Boom. Yeah. I love it.
But having to change firms, I mean, you'd have to, but like, bloody hell, that's a mission, isn't it?
Rooted this boss's son, and he's 18. Bring your son to work day. No, I've got to be gone by then. When's that? Oi, Joyce, have a look at your calendar real quick. When's bring your kid to work day? All right, I'm out.
Yeah. All right, if you've got a secret you want to share on the podcast, all you have to do is go to the link in the bio or go to Michelle's Instagram page. And if you can give us a follow and a subscribe on the app that you are listening on, that will help us move up the charts. We will see you next Tuesday.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.